What's up, everybody? Here we are, another exciting episode of Nerd Revolution Radio. Can you give me that look like it's
exciting? I can't wait.
Yes. So this is a new segment of the show where Jack and I are going to do a weekly breakdown of all the Arrowverse shows, at least up to the Crisis or maybe the Arrow finale.
Yeah, we'll get through. I think that's the end of the Crisis, so we'll get through that.
So this week, the week actually that you're listening to this, the week before, started off with Batwoman, Supergirl, Black Lightning, and
The Flash.
All premiered. Arrow premieres this coming Tuesday, which we'll do the following week, at the end of the week.
Right.
It's so weird talking about times because this comes out later than when I record it. We record it.
It's all right.
So
we'll figure it out.
So it's Jack and myself. The first show we're going to talk about is Batwoman, because that's got all the people kind of, there's a lot of hate. There's not some good reviews. There's some okay reviews.
Yeah, it was a show. I double check this, and it's the first thing that I'll say about it is, you know, the pilot was recorded well before the rest of the show and filmed it back in March. The rest of the show didn't start filming until July. Okay. So I'm going to try and reserve judgment on the overall show until we get into once they saw the pilot, finished the castings, and started doing the thing.
See, the way I looked at it was, it's what you're seeing in the pilot is not the same Kate Kane that you saw in the Elseworlds crossover, if you happened to watch that last season. Because at that point in her story, she's already established as the character and ingrained in Gotham.
Yeah, I think we're going to have some time jumps during this first season of that show to get it caught up.
So, overall, you liked it, you didn't like it so far?
Overall, I wasn't a fan. I felt like there wasn't anything that I hadn't seen before. So that was kind of my big issues with it. I was just bored. And a lot of it, I didn't buy into some of the changes they've made from the original origins as far as how she was involved with Batman from a young age.
Yeah, I was reading a little bit because I'm not as familiar with the comic book version. And she was captured by terrorists in the comic book?
Yeah, her dad was a special... Her parents were both special agents and were overseas with the girls. And her mother, sister, and her got captured.
Right.
And her mother and sister were killed by terrorists.
And then she kind of was mentored by Batman?
No.
Or
no,
she admired him, right?
She admired him, and then she went to go into the Marines. But she wasn't tied to Batman quite the same way as she was with this. Her first interaction with Batman was as an adult when he saved her from a mugging.
Gotcha.
And then she said, oh, well, I can use all my skills to do this same thing, which she did, and then they continued to cross paths and then found out they were related and all that good stuff.
So in this, they do kind of awful flashbacks. Like, I didn't really like the flashbacks. I didn't like the texture of it. And I get you're not really allowed to put Batman on your TV show for the most part. But the way they depicted, so the introduction to Batman in this is there's a school bus coming up behind the car that Kate and her sister are in. The school bus slams into the car, knocks it off the bridge. Batman swoops in, shoots a line to the tree, to the car, and then somewhere else to the car.
Right.
The bumper pulls off the car. The car plummets into the water after he pulls her out. Right?
No, he had to leave. He didn't pull her out.
No, and it was the Joker driving the school
Correct.
Bus.
Correct. Yeah, he had to leave. He thought that they were going to be safe and able to save themselves because it would be secure, and he went on to continue stopping the Joker.
Right. She escaped, Kate.
Right, and then she was trying to save her sister, and...
Boom.
Yeah.
Okay. So, from that point on, she hates Batman. She thinks that Batman abandoned them, and that was... Batman failed her.
Right.
Okay. So, all this time, she hates Batman, so she's trying to join... So Batman has disappeared from Gotham.
Right, well, that's... They get kind of loose with the time frames there. So, he's been gone for 3 years.
As of the present day part of the show.
Right, as of the pilot of the show. Which we don't know, though, when, how long it's been since she got kicked out of the military.
Right.
It sounds like it's probably a similar time frame.
Right.
But then I don't understand how the one character, Sophie, I think is right.
Yeah, Sophie.
How she went and stayed in the military and had a military career, and then you had time to go leave and join the Crows and move up in the Crows in the span of, I don't know, maybe a year or so, it seemed. Like, it's very loose with the time frame there.
The time frame is a little weird. So, there... I'm trying to draw all my thoughts together. So, she comes back to Gotham only because Sophie is kidnapped. She's off training to try and prove herself worthy enough to join her father's security force, which has taken over after Batman left, the Crows.
Right.
Okay. One thing, I know I'm going to jump into a bunch of different little Easter eggs, and one I know is your favorite. The building, the Wayne building,
yeah,
is the exact same building they used in Christopher Nolan's Dark Knight.
Oh,
so
didn't realize that.
So all the other Arrowverse shows basically use Vancouver as their skyline, right. Whereas I think it's Arrow rotates between Philadelphia and like four or five other cities as their skyline. If you ever paid attention to the opening,
yeah,
if you watch the skylines, they're constantly different, but one of them is Philadelphia.
Hmm.
So they picked Chicago because that's where Christopher Nolan depicted Gotham as kind of a copy of Chicago.
Gotcha.
So the big Wayne building is the same front of the building from Dark Knight, which is right. Cool. That's a neat little Easter egg.
Yeah.
Where was I? So she comes back because Sophie got kidnapped, then finds out that Sophie got married to a guy.
Well, that's not till later on. That's not till Sophie's saved.
Right. Oh, yeah.
She doesn't find out Sophie's married until she's back. Right.
Right. So when she comes back and she climbs up the side of Wayne Tower.
Right, she comes back and decides that she's more qualified than the organization she's been training 3 years to try and be good enough to join, that she knows more and is better and can go save her friend on her own.
Yes.
Which is kind of a flawed premise to begin with.
Yeah, that doesn't... they're shoehorning it in.
Yeah, a lot of it was just forced to try and get as many storylines started as possible in the pilot, which is what a pilot does, though.
Right.
So that's why, like I said earlier, I have to give them some of the benefit of the doubt and say, all right, so this is a pilot. They're going to try and cram all this in. They had to sell it to the network. So they filmed it, like I said, in March. A month later, they got the official pickup for the series. But they had to cram enough stuff in the pilot to make it seem like, okay, this show is going to be viable. Unfortunately, if anybody watched Gotham, Gotham did Gotham.
Right.
And the whole Batman mythos so well for the five seasons that it was on, that it's really rough to see a brand new take this quick.
Yes.
And it's two different networks, so obviously CW doesn't care what Fox did, but it's so fast with trying to go right back into that world with a different take that it's a little rough for me as far as that goes, too.
Yeah. No, I get that, too. So one of the other Easter eggs pops up, actually two of the Easter eggs, when she gets into Bruce's office and she looks over at the shelf, there's the famous Martha pearls,
right,
in a little glass case on a bookshelf in his office. I get it. They've definitely done the pearls to death over the last 5 years.
The movies.
The movies have. Using that as the trigger to open up the elevator. I mean, I know I'm jumping all over the place, but...
No, it's fine. It's fine. It's also, I don't know when the Batcave moved to Wayne
So
Tower.
I actually had that written down. According to comics, the video games, different other mediums, Batman has multiple Batcaves across Gotham. In the video game, there's a Batcave under Arkham Asylum. I think there's one in the comic books under Arkham. I don't know if it's the comics, but in the video game for sure. The original Batcave is under Wayne Manor.
Right.
Supposedly, this is just kind of like an auxiliary Batcave that if he's at Wayne Manor and he has to act, you know, he has to like make a quick change into Batman, he can go down there. And supposedly there's some kind of like speed train or tram car that can take him from this Batcave to the main Batcave. I don't know how he gets around the power lines and the gas mains.
And anybody knowing that all that was built. Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
And all of that. I know it's a stretch. I try to look at it more of, hey, it's a comic book movie, comic book TV show. Got to suspend a little bit of reality to kind of bend it to fit in. I like Lucius Fox's kid being there as kind of the overseer
of everything. And I'll be honest, is wide as my knowledge of comic books is, I've read the New 52 when it came out, but I don't know a ton about the Batwoman mythos as far as the comic books go. And I know that they already rebooted her once.
Right. That's what this one is, right? Is this the... This isn't the Barbara Gordon.
That's Batgirl. That's right. Different.
These are different. Okay.
No. Because that Batgirl went from Batgirl into Oracle, and then she got rebooted.
Right.
But no, this has always been Kate Kane as far as Batwoman. There was a Batwoman back in the 60s that was a completely different character.
Okay.
And wasn't related to Bruce. They were actually romantically involved, the original ones. And Kane, obviously, is the nod to the creator, Batman.
Right. And I was reading somewhere that Kate Kane doesn't have Bruce Wayne's money. It's her family's money that Martha was a Kane originally and married into the Waynes.
Yeah.
Something like that. I don't know. All I know is that the money that Kate Kane's playing with, where she's this little rich girl, you know, she's the female Bruce Wayne, isn't the Wayne money, but she's going to take up residence in Wayne Tower, apparently, from what we saw in Elseworlds.
Yeah, I don't know how they're going to go with all that, where all of a sudden she's now responsible for Wayne Industries and
all of that.
So
I like seeing the Batcave, or at least a little bit of the Batcave. I think they really shoehorned Batman's guilt over her dying into that. Like, that entire thing was dedicated to him trying to figure that one.
Yeah, that was not realistic.
No.
For it being at least 15 years later, there's no way he's still examining that with all the other stuff that he has, and has done supposedly in this world during this whole stretch.
Is this world in the same universe as Arrow and Flash, or are they on different Earth? Is this a different Earth from Arrow and Flash?
I think this is Supergirl's, isn't it?
Okay, so this is Supergirl's Earth.
Trying to remember from Elseworlds last year.
I guess, yeah.
Because in Arrow, we've had a reference to Bruce Wayne at one point.
Yes.
But there hasn't been any Gotham references
there's been Bloodhaven references.
There have been a few Bloodhaven references.
And he did make the one Bruce Wayne comment when they outed him as Green Arrow. I remember him saying something about, what do you think is Bruce Wayne or something like that. And I know that in Supergirl, in the earlier seasons, she made reference to her cousin working with this guy that had these bat issues, mental problems, vigilante. She called him a vigilante that had all kinds of cool toys. So there was kind of reference to it.
Yeah, I think that's where this was. But, at the end of Crisis, it should all be folded in anyway. And
That's another question I have for later. All right, so she finds the Batcave. The password to get into the computer is Alfred, which is a cute little Easter egg, but a little too simple, I think, for a Bruce Wayne.
Right, and where's Alfred?
Where's Alfred? There's no Commissioner Gordon.
Right.
I mean, I guess you could say Christopher Gordon retired. Or Commissioner Gordon. Right.
Christopher Gordon might have retired too, wherever he went.
Yes, he probably did. The villain of the show is not the same Alice as Alice and, the Mad Hatter and whatnot. Or is it supposed to be?
No. I mean, she or it's the Wonderland gang.
Right.
So, yeah, it's tied to that, and she's going to speak in lines from those books.
Right.
But, yeah, I don't know a lot about that character. I mean, it's the same character in the comic books, same background.
Right.
As it is in the comic books.
And the twist, obviously, if you haven't seen the show,
you probably shouldn't be listening to this.
Right. You should probably tap out probably 15 minutes ago. Yeah, 15 minutes ago. So the twist of the show is that Alice is her sister and her sister never died. That could be some cool back and forth over the course of time.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting. There's just a lot of backstory they got to do. And again, with it being the pilot episode, they have to set a lot of things in motion.
Yeah.
They got to start a lot of plates spinning. and they definitely started a lot of plate spinning. I'm not excited about the show, but I'll now that it's going to be tied into the Crisis crossover, and I'm, you know, excited for Arrow to come back, I'm going to watch it at least through the crossover.
Yeah, that's kind of the way I was feeling. I didn't love it. I didn't hate it. I thought, to wrap up the Batwoman part of this, I thought the very end of the end of the show, or the big climactic scene where they have a movie in the park night, I enjoy the callback to Batman with showing the mask of Zorro or right. the mark of Zorro, but it's 2019. There's no way you're going to be showing that movie in the park across from a building that's still under construction, that you're not going to have anyone really... You have one guy stationed over there?
Again, in modern day, it's not like... No. Again, that's why it's so tough when they try and do these things with Gotham City and what you had in the show Gotham.
Right.
Played with time so well, because you never knew when it was supposed to be where they could do these old callbacks and have older cars and have older things happen, but they still had cell phones.
Right.
But it was very fluid with the time frame. This, we know when it is because all of the other Arrowverse shows are very specific about what year it is.
Right.
And what else is going on in the world. Like, you wouldn't have this Gotham with Palmer Tech.
No. No, not at all.
Or even, you know, the...
But yet, when she goes into the security room at Wayne Manor, it's got security feed
right.
from the entire city she can see.
Yeah, it's...
Why wouldn't the Crows have acquired that? Why don't the Crows have that? Why does only... I mean, I don't know.
Right.
I think it's... Like you said, I'm going to give it a chance too. More because I want to see how they... I want to see how they get her to the current costume with the red hair. Because the one she has on now is really awkward looking.
Yeah, it looks like there's at least another week or two for that.
Right. And that's fine. I mean, you can't... I mean, throwing the costume out there... moment one is bad. You gotta kind of have some
right.
build up to it.
Well, I'm sure we're gonna get the hair because everybody thinks Batman's back.
Right.
So she's gonna get the hair to differentiate herself, that they realize, oh, it's not Batman, right. it's Batwoman.
Right. And yeah, because I mean, Green More Arrow power. Started out, he had literally had a hood.
Right.
Literally. But gave him a cool nickname.
It did.
Okay, so the second show that premiered this week was Supergirl.
Which was another lackluster debut for the CW this season.
I am going to put my biggest gripe about Supergirl out there right away. I get that they had to change her outfit, from what I understand, from what I was reading. Melissa...
Benoist.
See, sometimes I hear people say Benoist.
She says Benoist.
Okay. So, Melissa Benoist had been pushing behind the scenes for pants. Because she films in Vancouver and it's very cold and she's in a skirt most of the time.
Outside, right.
Right. Cool. No problem with pants. How they got to the pants was a little underwhelming. Basically is a Tony Stark ripoff. The first viewing of it.
Yeah.
So Brainy puts a little microscopic dot on her glasses, and when she whips her glasses off...
Well, so but her costume gets destroyed. Her
right.
cape gets destroyed, which apparently impacts her aerodynamics.
Yes, that's new to Superman, apparently.
So that, and, you know, we can get back to that, because that's a little ways into the show.
But, I know, but this was my biggest gripe about the
yeah.
show, and I whipping the glasses off, and the suit forms around her like Tony Stark's Iron Man armor. Literally.
But not if she just takes them off. She has to whip them off in a dramatic fashion.
Yes. And he was really specific about that,
too. He was. They don't go into what happens to the clothes she's wearing underneath it.
No,
like
they don't.
The evening gown.
Yes.
That's weird. And where she puts the glasses then.
Right. They just kind of disappear.
Right.
When in Endgame...
But then she puts them back on.
Not Endgame.
To change back into her regular outfit. So where is she stashing these glasses the whole time?
In Infinity War, people said the same thing about Tony when they walk out of Doctor Strange's and he
takes just go into his mask.
Off. Yeah. They kind of just... Yeah.
Yeah. If they're nanotech, that's...
Right.
That makes more
her
sense.
Her glasses are not nanotech.
No, because they were her regular glasses. He just popped right. this little thing onto.
Right.
But to be fair, what does she usually do with all of her clothes and glasses when she changes?
Usually,
suspension of disbelief in the comic world, right? I guess that's where we're going with it.
Putting glasses on makes you invisible. to your alter self. So I guess, I mean, yeah. You know, when I take my glasses off, all of a sudden I'm not Frank. You're sitting across from whatever.
Yeah, I feel like you're a superhero every time you take your glasses
yes,
off.
Yes, 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 I am. I feel, because I was a huge Smallville fan, as I've stated many, many times, I feel that the arc that they're taking Kara and Lena on is mirroring the arc that Clark and Lex went on in Smallville, where Clark never told Lex because Clark never told anyone his secret because he wanted to protect them.
Right.
He was always afraid of them getting hurt. But in Smallville, everybody knew who the hell he was, pretty much.
Right.
By like season 4 or 5, everybody knew.
Don't even get me started on that with these shows.
In this show, she's held it out from Lena, but everybody else knows who she is, pretty much.
Right, until she had to make her sister forget.
Right, but then her sister remembered.
Right.
And now she tells Lena, where Lena was about to reveal her secret to the entire world, she told her, but Lena still... She acted like she was forgiving her.
Right, only to set her up with another long con.
But it looks like they're going to kind of tease those two towards possibly being enemies or at some point down the line.
They'll continue to evolve that from what it seems like. I mean, looking at even last season, they started planting the seeds of that arc. And ever since they introduced, you know, Lena, where there's all the conflicting, where no matter what, Lena's still from a family of supervillains.
Right.
Which is why it makes zero sense that you would ever tell her your secret identity if you're Kara, because that then opens up all of your friends and the shows play so loose with secret identities. Which, look, it's difference between comics and TV and movies, right? Because in that other universe,
yeah,
there's no secret identities. The only one that was there was Spider-Man. That's ruined. Yeah, so, you know, I get that there's very few of any secret identities left. How? Because you need to see their face, right? Is typically what it is. Supergirl, not as big of a thing because she doesn't wear a mask, but...
Right. She wears glasses.
The fact that everybody on the show now knows who she is crazy.
Right. Except the new editor-in-chief of Catco.
But they'll be friends by, like, week 3, and... they'll be going out to dinner, and she'll tell her.
I like the part of the story I like, so... The guy that plays Jimmy Olsen is leaving the show.
Mikad Brooks.
Right. Yep. So they're kind of drawing him towards that. I like that they're pulling this girl into, now we're not really doing news, we just want clicks. Like, I like that part of it because that kind of mirrors the world today.
Right.
And how news is. It's not about reporting the news, it's about getting clicks and likes on your websites.
Right.
Without getting overly political. That's just the basis of things. I like that part of it. I thought the villain of the week was awful.
I think that's a long game that they're playing with that.
Well, yeah, but
it's teased at the end of it.
The final confrontation was pretty awful. They literally all just stood in place and used their powers.
Yeah, it's remembering that it's a CW show no matter what, right? So even if it's a comic book show, it's still the CW, so they still have their formula that they have to follow.
Right.
Because most of these, Supergirl wouldn't need all this help.
No.
All the time. Like, Guardian isn't worth anything there with Supergirl. The whole premise of that character was, this is the street-level guy that fights street crime, and that's it.
Right.
You don't need him for the big supernatural and alien, you know, threats and things like that, but here he is every time. I'm going to help you, even though I have zero additional powers and skills other than
a decent suit.
Yeah, and that's about it. And, yeah. I mean, they just keep adding powers to Dreamer every episode, so.
I thought the episode was kind of bland until the end. All of these shows, the first halves of all these seasons, are leading into Crisis.
Right.
For the most part. I mean, Batwoman is, but they're also trying to get their show off the ground.
Right.
Supergirl's pointing right at Crisis. How are they going to fold that world into the current Arrow world? Because the world that Supergirl's on is full of aliens, and aliens are a thing, and that's there. But they're not a thing that we know of on where the Arrow and the Flash are.
No, that world is definitely more grounded in, I mean, just for lack of a better term, reality.
Right. So, like, you can't just pull Supergirl over. You have to pull, like, her whole supporting cast over. But then what the hell's the point of having her on this world without the aliens?
So it's going to be interesting to see how they do it. But from the original one, which I just went back and started rereading the original
right.
Crisis series actually for that point. So as Crisis continues and as the realities start getting destroyed with this, the last few are left. The Monitor has selected these heroes from and set it up to stop them from being destroyed, but instead combining. So in the premise of this is kind of like going back to the Big Bang Theory, but a little bit different with where at the beginning, the one Earth and one reality splintered into a multiverse.
Gotcha.
So this is then going to be recombining some aspects of multiple different realities into one. So they can pick and choose really from a storytelling perspective. They don't have to say, all right, everything from this one and everything from this one is now combined, where we can go, okay, well, we're going to bring over Supergirl and these characters because they were involved in this crisis, so they know what happened.
Right.
But everybody else doesn't. And this is the part of the storyline that we want to bring over.
Yeah, but then what happens to the rest of the characters that they don't bring over? Do they just stay on? Do they disappear or do they stay on an Earth?
I mean, look, they could, with all the people they're bringing back in for this huge crossover, they could recast every show.
True. True.
I mean, they kind of need to with the next one we're going to talk about. One of the next ones we're going to talk about. So,
I mean, as far as a season premiere of Supergirl goes, it was slightly less interesting than Batwoman. The only reason I put Batwoman a little higher is because of the Batman lore.
Right.
And I enjoyed seeing some of that. Supergirl, I'm in and out on that show.
Yeah, last season I was underwhelmed almost the entire season until they brought in Lex.
Yeah.
And even then, it wasn't great. But the finale was fantastic.
The finale was great.
And now they went from that back to this, and I'm back to, okay, well, now we're going to have, if it's 22 episodes, we're going to have 20 meh episodes and maybe two really good ones this season, but I'm not.
Right.
You know, I, again, it's one of those, I'm kind of waiting until the crossover and to see how much buy-in I still have on these shows because they're kind of getting a little preachy and a little messagey.
Yeah.
For me, and I don't watch my comic book TV shows to get a message and a lesson.
Supergirl was very messagey last season.
Yeah.
In the beginning. Well, mostly. So, the third one... Well, so I didn't watch Black... I don't watch Black Lightning. I never jumped on it because it was... I'm not familiar with the character, and it wasn't a part of the universe. Now he's apparently part of the universe, or going to be. Maybe. So I kind of have to go back. Is it worth going back and watching the first season?
First season was great.
Okay.
I really enjoyed the first season. I've been a fan of that character for as long as the character's been around. I mean, character came around in the 60s.
Okay.
But then was really reintroduced and redone in the 80s. We kind of talked about before where on our Crisis special where the Teen Titans,
yes,
splintered off and all of a sudden Batman had his Outsiders.
Yes.
And they brought back Black Lightning into the Outsiders.
Okay.
As a character, and he was kind of the older character that helped all these young kids kind of learn.
Is this the
what was going on?
Is this the character that The Rock was supposed to play on the movie in on the big screen?
I don't think so.
He was supposed
to play... No, he's Black Adam.
Black Adam, okay.
Totally different.
Okay.
That movie's, I think, starts filming next year, they said. But
right.
So Black Lightning, yeah, has always been more of a character that they brought in as an older person. He was a school teacher.
Right.
And they kept with that in the show. The first season was great.
Okay.
Second season, I tried really hard and just I dropped off on it. The family dynamics can be really good, but there's one of the characters is really whiny, and I just couldn't deal with it. So I dropped out about a third of the way into season two. However, from what I understand, they have brought in back a lot of the Outsider characters. They're bringing in Markovia through the end of that, and starting this season, they started bringing in Markovia. I'm too far behind to have really gone all in on this episode. I started it and just kind of was
so this
at
is
a loss
season
as to where it is. This is season three now.
Okay. Well, the only other show that I watched, it's the last show that we can talk about, is The Flash. The Flash was, I was a huge fan of Arrow. The Flash was my favorite. I've always loved The Flash growing up. It's a Flash t-shirt. I'm a huge, huge, huge Flash fan. I thought the first season of The Flash was really good. They captured Barry Allen really well in the first season. The first two seasons were decent. What are they at, five now?
This is season six.
Six. So three was a little eh. Four was a little eh. Five was a little better.
Five was okay. I feel like the show got worse the darker it got.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Just because that was the great part about it. It was this complete and utter contrast to Arrow.
Exactly. That, the darker, when they went to Savitar was too dark.
Once we got to Emo Barry.
Yes. Emo Barry is, and we start the episode this season off with Emo Barry again. And Emo Iris. So it's an emo double shot.
Yeah.
And I get it. They lost their daughter. And, you know.
I feel like they kind of acknowledged that by the end of this episode, though. And they said, okay, yes, we're gonna try and fix that.
I thought this episode was good. I thought the villain that they're establishing is going to be a really good. I like him as an actor. He was in Heroes.
Yeah, he's Mohinder.
Yes, he's Mohinder from Heroes. He was great in Heroes season one.
Heroes. Look, season two was the writer's strike. You can't blame them on season two.
Season three was
Reboot was great though with Zachary Levi. Good figure.
I like the way they're establishing him. If they can kind of keep it going. I think that their problem was that they really nailed the speedster villain too much the first couple of seasons. Like, they beat you over the head with speedster villains that you almost can't put a speedster villain out right now.
No, but I mean, you need an answer to be, or the show to have, need something different than, you just got to run faster, Barry.
Right, yeah. Run, like, that's Barry, it. Run. He gets another new suit. This one is a little bit more. See, I didn't like the suit last year.
This one fits better than last year's. Last year's looked like he was swimming in it every episode.
Yeah. Too much padding?
No, there wasn't. It was just.
It was him. Yeah.
Yeah, it was too big on him.
I like the chin strap version better than not having a chin strap.
Yeah.
I think it is more Flash.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the story wasn't bad. I don't know. See, I have a problem with Killer Frost. Because she's not Killer Frost anymore. Because
she's Happy-Go-Lucky Frost.
They had a real good start with that character.
Yeah.
And because she's such a fan favorite, I guess, they didn't want to put her down a dark path forever. But, I mean.
Yeah, well, I think, I mean, they set it up from the first episode. Because obviously that Caitlin Snow was always Killer Frost in the comics.
Right. Right.
And ironically, during the crisis, Killer Frost got a crush on Firestorm.
Nice.
From Psycho Pirate, made her be all lovey-dovey with Firestorm.
Okay.
Which was a nod at the beginning of The Flash.
Gotcha.
When Ronnie and Caitlin were an item.
I don't think they ever thought that they were going to really do a crisis.
No, well, I mean, the first episode of Flash teased it.
Right, but
I don't think they thought they would make it 12 seasons or whatever year they pushed it to, or right, had it originally, and then they pushed it back and said, hey, look at the calendar. Oh, it's sooner. Oh, here it is.
And now it's next year.
Right.
I think the character at this point's kind of. I think it's more of a failure. I don't want to see Killer Frost or whatever the hell they're going to have to rename her, like, walking around living a normal life.
Well, it's still going to be the. I think they've gone a little bit too far with them being two individual people.
Yes.
That instead of just being, you know, regular Caitlin with power, or now she's going to have a split personality all the time.
Right. That's a little much.
Yeah, but I also don't know how much longer that character will be on the show. I mean, there's rumors kicking around that she was going to be done, so who knows with Crisis what they do. They could reboot the entire Flash cast. So I was alluding to earlier that the whole show needs a refresh like they did with Arrow and like season 5, season 6 when they introduced a whole new team.
Well, originally before this season, like actually more towards the end of last season, the rumors were that Carlos Valdez was done. That he was walking away and he was done, and then they gave him the cure in the last episode or an episode before the last episode and took away his powers. So he's just a normal human being.
And then he told his girlfriend Barry was the Flash because there was somebody that didn't know.
There was one person in Central City that does not know he's the Flash. That's the one show that everybody knows he's the Flash.
Yeah, but he's the only one with the secret identity still, really. Right. I mean, it's crazy.
The police captain knew all along.
Right.
Well, the old police captain.
Yeah. And so did Joe.
Joe knew. Everybody knows. Everybody. Yeah, if you get into a relationship with a member of Team Flash, you are guaranteed
they just tell
to find
you.
Out who the Flash is.
Yeah.
It's all you got to do. I liked the episode overall. I think that I love Carlos Valdez.
Mm-hmm.
I think he adds he's great in the show. I liked him as Vibe.
Yeah, I mean it's for me knowing the Vibe character from the comics, it was such a departure that I and even the power set for Vibe on the show is totally different than
really?
In the comics. Yeah, Vibe was like earthquake vibes.
Oh,
like vibration.
Like Quake from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Exactly. It was how the original was. And he was much more a street punk gang member.
Right. Oh, yeah, he's definitely...
That was what the original one was. And then there was, like, an end of Justice League of America right around Crisis when the whole Justice League lineup was actually Gypsy and Vibe and Steel and Martian Manhunter was in charge.
Right.
And Vixen was in. So, like, actually all the characters from the Arrowverse were all in the Justice League of America at one point in the 80s.
Interesting.
Right around the time of Crisis on Infinite Earths when they did all that messing around. And they... actually ended the Justice League of America series at that point with all these new characters, like they all kind of got killed off and hidden. But I always found that interesting with Arrowverse where they brought back all of those characters.
Yeah. Well, this episode seemed like it focused more on the characters than it did on the overarching plot at first. I mean, they're setting the plot up.
Right.
Obviously with the scientist or the doctor, I think he's a doctor. He's got ties to Caitlin.
Right.
And he's one of the few villains that isn't motivated by a family death to avenge the death. He's more kind of like going, nah, nah, I was right, you were wrong,
right.
Mom. Which is kind of funny and new. Yes, I read that. I didn't figure that out on my own. They get to the end of the episode, and that's where they throw the monitor out at you again, who I assume is going to be popping up pretty much all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's fine. The only thing that was missing for me, really, before I get to that, was Tom Cavanaugh wasn't there yet. I really like every, and I've said it before, I like every iteration of Harrison Wells that he plays.
Yeah, and I think in some of the previews they've shown that there's going to be a new one that's more like a swashbuckler type.
Yes. More action-y.
Oh, which reminds me, another Easter egg for that. So the character that ended up becoming like tied with the black hole. Forget what.
Yes, Chunk.
Right.
Is the comic book name. Chester T. Simpson.
Right. So he was a character in the comic books that was kind of came out around the same time as Nutty Professor.
Oh,
but
really?
But in the comic book, looked more like the Nutty Professor from a size and like standpoint. And was more that kind of character,
right.
with the power set, different than what this where he like ate everything.
Yeah, yeah.
That was against the Wally West Flash.
There were a lot of... Like, I looked up a bunch of different reviews to kind of get a better scope of what was out there and what people thought, what other people thought that professionally do this. Not that we're not professional, of course. And a lot of people were kind of slapping the CGI of the black holes.
If you've listened to any of the guys that work on the show and see how fast their turnaround time is on visual effects for this stuff, it's actually amazing.
It really is.
The effects that they pull off in the condensed time frames.
So after the during the episode, I texted you. You hadn't seen the episode yet. At the climactic part of the episode, 6 years into the show, they finally use Queen's Flash Gordon theme song.
Right.
And Cisco, you know, it starts playing in the background. And then Cisco kind of mentions that it's actually playing in the show.
I've been saving this for just the right moment.
So I said to you, I said, well, they just blew their whole budget getting the rights to this song.
Right.
To which I also texted a friend of mine and maybe yours, Jimmy Wooten,
yep.
Who is in the music business more than I am. And I said the same thing. And I said, you know, they just used Queen's Flash Gordon in the show. They probably just blew their whole budget for the year. And he said, you can sync licensing cheap now. No one buys records. And I said, well, what would something like that cost? He's like, probably $5,000 to $10,000.
Yeah.
For that. Because he said he licensed the TV a TV show. He licensed a song to a TV show for $1,500 last year.
Well,
I'm curious as to what I have.
Queen might have a little more.
Right, but he said... a million streams on Spotify will get you about $9,000.
Yeah.
So they didn't blow their whole budget on that song, which is still kind of cool that they used the song.
Right.
I think they used a little bit too much of the song, but it was still fun to see. That's pretty meta crap using that song
right
in the show. The monitor showing up at the end, telling Barry that he's going to die, while the Green Arrow supposedly made a deal that keeps Barry and Kara from dying, because in the comic book, they both die.
Well, but did that keep them from dying in Elseworlds?
I don't know.
Well, so in the comic series, Flash at this point, when the crisis starts in the comic series, you find out that Iris had been actually from the future.
Yes.
And the two of them went to the future, which right before Legion of Superheroes takes place. The two of them had twins.
Is this the one where they send her consciousness back, or is this like actually her?
I think it was actually her.
Because in the trial of the Flash, where he actually kills the Reverse Flash, they send Iris's consciousness back from like the 42nd century or something stupid. I don't know. Anyway.
So, but they had been living there. And when the crisis starts happening, Barry all of a sudden starts looking into it. And then he's kidnapped at the very beginning of the series by the Anti-Monitor.
Okay.
And held. And all the rest of the characters keep seeing flashes of Barry as he's getting ready to sacrifice himself later on. So all of these images from the beginning of the series are foreshadowing to something that happens later. And just, it's pretty impressive how they do it there.
Right.
You know, but I don't know if they're going to, then Oliver's going to come in and take his place, or what they're, how they're going to play that. And I think we're going to keep seeing it be set up more and more.
Something I read is, again, like we talked about when they cast Tom Welling in The Crisis, the wording of it was Tom Welling to play Clark Kent.
Right.
The wording of what the monitor says is the Flash has to die.
Right.
He didn't say Barry Allen's Flash had to die. He said the Flash has to die. So you have infinite number of other Flashes that you could sacrifice.
Yeah, I mean,
which is a little bit of a cop-out, but you can't kill...
But one of the other Flashes is Barry Allen still.
True. That's true. He is out there, but...
Because John Wesley's Shipp's character that stopped by last season is Barry Allen.
He could die. I would expect it would be him.
I mean, they've already killed him like 3 times on this show, so why not just keep it going?
Yeah. I'm excited for the crossover for the crisis because of all the crossing over and because of everything that they're constantly spoiling online.
Yeah, it's out of hand at this point.
It is literally every day they are posting pictures and pictures and pictures.
But some of it's even the cast.
Yes, the cast.
So, I mean, there's got to be a bunch of stuff that they're hiding still. I hope. But the amount of cast photos that they're sending out where, hey, look, these guys are all filming together today, and these guys are filming, it's...
And what I said to you before was, I think that Lois Lane's going to play a bigger part in this, and from what Bitsy's put out and from what Erica's put out, they're both, oh, I'm filming them on Supergirl today. Oh, I'm filming on this one today.
Right.
Tomorrow, I'm filming on this one.
Right.
Like, they're in almost every episode, I bet.
Yeah, and it, apparently they're gonna make... Because Brandon Routh was technically the same Superman as Christopher Reeves.
I did see that.
I mean, well, that was just the original movie. It was technically the same Superman after he came back from space.
Right.
So, but they're already doing a lot with that character. So I guess I'm intrigued to see what they do with Brandon Routh in general through this, because we're not going to have Legends back until at the end of Crisis.
Right, it's going to be the last. That's the last episode of the Crisis. Right.
Right.
Is the Legends premiere.
Right.
So they're basically retconning Christopher Reeves' Superman as Superman Prime.
No, there wasn't a Superman Prime. There was Superboy Prime.
Superman Prime, Superman, as in he's the original Superman.
Well, but it looks like they're going to do it as Kingdom Come Superman.
Right.
Is how they're going to retcon all of that.
Right, but he would be Christopher Reeve
in
the future.
Brandon Routh.
Right,
yes. Brandon Routh. Yeah, they did that for the movie, though.
Right.
The movie was a direct sequel to Quest for Peace.
Right. Oh, so they didn't do the Nuclear Man? That didn't exist?
That was Quest for Peace. It was a sequel to that.
Oh. Did the Richard Pryor one?
That was still in there, too. Yeah.
That's canon?
So we'll see. Maybe we'll get Gene Hackman will show up as Lex Luthor in the crossover.
The big cast photo that they took on the Wave Rider. I mean...
Right.
It's like... in their costumes, no less.
Yeah, which Tom verified Cavanaugh, what we talked about last time with Lila Michaels.
Yes, it did. I forgot that I was going to mention that as we're winding down, because the crisis is the thing that looms large. So, of course, we're probably going to talk about it when we do these. They retcon Michael Keaton into it.
Yeah, I'm not thrilled with that one.
They're just retconning everybody now.
But from what... So this, I may have seen a blink of this, but I this is more of my thought on it. So that's going to be one world. So obviously that can't be Batwoman's.
No, that is going to be allegedly, and I didn't read the whole thing. I just kind of breezed it because I really don't want to know anything now.
Right.
But it's going to be like Earth 89. So they're gonna name the Earths after the years.
But the problem with that one in particular, and the headline that they gave was Bruce Wayne marrying socialite Selina Kyle. She wasn't a socialite in the movie.
No, she
at all.
No, she wasn't.
She was like a bag lady.
Yes.
With crazy cat people
now
stuff.
Now they're going to have to change that.
Right.
And there were pictures of Burt Ward online.
Yep. Who that, they might be straight in the Batwoman world, but who knows?
Right.
I just want
them to stop.
Yeah, it's they just keep putting out more and more. And who knows, half of it could be red herrings.
I hope. I mean, that cast photo obviously is not a red herring, but...
No. But, I mean, and this is when they're going to be filming all the Crisis episodes. So, I mean, that's...
And they already...
That means there's still 2 months of leaks.
That they already said something about there's a picture of Black Lightning piloting the Wave Rider.
Right, which doesn't even make sense.
No. But that's their way of jumping through time, but not through universes. Vibe was the way they jumped through
right. universes. Vibe and Gypsy and...
Right.
Well, I did see that... God, what's his name? Gypsy's dad is going to be back.
Oh, Danny Trejo.
Yes.
I love Danny.
He's going to be back this season.
He's awesome.
And I wouldn't be shocked if they find a reason and a need to give Vibe back his powers, because that's a really typical trope of all these things.
I think it's going to have something to do with this villain, what the guy injected himself in Flash with.
Right.
He injected himself with dark matter. I have no doubt in my mind that at some point it's going to cross over to him, and he's going to end up, or right. he's going to take it because he feels the need to help or something, or
yeah. Well, you know. So one other thing I did see with Batwoman in general, yes. though, is that it's going to finish filming in December. So it's done filming for the season December 2nd.
Oh. That's...
So I don't know if they're getting a shorter season.
I...
Or how that's going to work, but, I mean, that's pretty quick after Crisis, so I'm hoping that we don't end up with a bunch of spoilers.
Yeah.
From the filming of that, that's going to tie into it. But I think they're going to try and keep that fairly self-contained, it seems, and just have like the crossover episode just be the crossover and right. not really impact the rest of the show.
I could do without 22 episode seasons.
Oh, me too.
I could do. I miss the, like, cut that in half. Cut that in half. You're going to extend your show longer.
Yeah, I mean it's you run into. To take it from the way that Marvel and Netflix did their kind of thing. Their 13 episode seasons were too long.
Right.
I think they could have told a really nice tight storyline in 10. I would prefer they went the route that they attempted once with one of the seasons of Flash and a little bit with Arrow, and Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has done very well the last 2 or 3 years, where each season contains arcs. So where you have one arc, this is the villain for this arc that now leads into this next storyline, instead of having to worry about the Thinker for 22 episodes, which really was a storyline that could have gotten wrapped up in like 10.
Yeah.
And then you end up with just a bunch of filler just to fill weeks of TV.
Right. Like the Cicada one, where you could have wrapped that up in 10, 12 episodes instead of, oh, he escaped again, we have to figure out how to get him.
Right. And they kind of did that with the first, it was the male Cicada, and then it was the female Cicada for the second half, but I don't think they need a big bad. I think the big bad concept is outdated at this point for storytelling in general, with these comic book things, as we're all getting beat over the head every week with something new coming out from comic book content.
Yeah. That was really all I had on all these. This week we have Arrow coming back.
Yeah.
So we have Supergirl, Batwoman. We have the full slate.
All five Legends, episodes.
Everything but
Legends. All five shows, yeah.
Yes. So next episode will be a little longer, maybe. Maybe we'll just condense it a little bit. But I'm looking forward to seeing it. What do we got as of recording this? We got 3 hours, and then we're right back into it.
Yep.
For me, I'm going to let Jack do all his fun plugs.
Oh, there's not many. I mean, look, you can just find me on Twitter and Instagram at Kid Talks, K-I-double-D Talks, at those. And you can see all the music stuff I got coming up and all the trivia nights I host and all that good stuff.
Definitely, definitely try and check out some of the trivia nights. They're the most fun thing. I mean, and his music stuff, too, because, you know, that helps him out. For us, you can find us. I've probably by the end of this month, we're going to be on iHeartRadio, Pandora, Stitcher. I'm looking into Patreon. We're on iTunes. We're on Podbean. We're on Spotify. We're everywhere right now. As anywhere you can get a podcast, you look for Nerd Revolution Radio, and that's where we are. We're going to come. We have next week. We have, oh yeah, we have Instagram, we have Twitter. We have everything that you want. You look for us, you find us, email us, leave us a review, talk to us, ask us questions. We'll talk about stuff you want to hear. I say that all the time. Next week, Jack and I will be back doing this at some point during this week. Danny and JJ will be coming back around for some stuff. And on October 24th, we're going to sit down with a friend of ours, Doug Moore from Split Decision, huge Batman fan, and then we're going to finally talk about Joker and what everybody thought about that. So for me and my friend Jack, have a wonderful week. It's the Nerd Revolution. Better stop again.